Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Epic victories, heartbreaking defeats. No matter your team, no matter your game, we talk sports on AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the Sports League, ESPN Rochester.
Back sports bar, danger of a tag leg. Glad you're with us this afternoon at AM 950 and 95.7 FM, ESPNRochester.com and the radio.com app. Well, we're reaching out to Nate Geary, scheduled to join us this hour, talk some Buffalo Bills and get going in advance of Bills mandatory minicamp. Gets underway tomorrow, right? We get tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Right. So McDermott talks tomorrow before. To me, here's the one thing I am looking forward to the most, and that is Josh Allen beyond a little snapshot. 2 weeks ago, wow, we had Mark Lowazak on with us, Bills Digest. Best Allen practice ever. He has arrived. Paraphrasing. And then this past week, well, the one practice that the media was allowed to see, not so good. Overthrowing receivers, defense intercepting him a couple of times. Can we see Josh Allen day one, day two, day three, rather than overreact to just one day here or there? I also want to see how they include the offensive line, like where are the reps going throughout the whole week? How are they dividing the carries? So this will resemble something a little closer to normally what we see, but still there won't be any pads. So it's not exactly like training camp, but it's the closest thing we're going to get until the team shows up late July at St. John Fisher
College. There's been no shortage of offensive line configurations through the course of OTAs. And I know that the offensive line, yeah, you really got to get those pads on and see how they're performing at camp before you can make some final decisions. But the configurations have been intriguing to me. I'm curious to see, what kind of configurations they have for that offensive line here through the course of mandatory minicamp here over the next few days.
Yeah. So, yeah, and Mitch Morse, how much they will give, let him go. I wouldn't expect to see Cole Beasley or one of the injured players. So Beasley being one of them. So Nate Geary, we're trying to track down right now as the Buffalo Bills. Will be on the field tomorrow at St. John Fisher College. I was expecting this time last year we had the training camp scheduled at St. John Fisher. Now I don't
was
think
it this time last year that we got it finally?
Well, it was the week of minicamp, but minicamp was a week earlier last year, mm-hmm. So everything had kind of broken by this point. So, so I would expect by the end of the week we'll have the dates. Now, when we talked to Sal Capaccio last week from GR. He kind of cautioned us, and this is just the fact that the Bills are going to go down to Carolina to hold joint practices. So by virtue of that, that's going to probably wipe out the last week that normally that we're here. So that will be meaning a shorter camp. It's been a few years. What was it? The year Johnny Manziel was a rookie. Johnny Manziel came up. That was the last time the Bills had joint practices here in Rochester was when Cleveland came in. That would be fun to do again at some point, but I'm just happy the team is here, period, at this point, knowing that...
No, you don't want to start... isn't that what we're known for, Gene? Aren't we fear-mongers? We should just get people thinking that that this is the end for training camp at St. John Fisher, right? Because they're going to be in Carolina and we're going to miss a few days.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go with fake news and just kind of... No, you know, that was a real story this time last year because of the tight-lipped nature and how we didn't have dates and we recognize the trend around the National Football League, meaning the trend, it is you train at home. And if the Bills could set up a system where fans could go in and watch a few practices... Yeah, it might happen. It's easier to train, especially when you're building this... Well, not even built. It's now built, this beautiful new training facility that has all the rehab and whatnot, the training facility the Buffalo Bills have out at One Bills Drive.
Curious as to how that training facility plays out long-term in terms of what the Bills might do with their stadium situation. We're going to talk next hour with the author of The Arena, Rafi Cohen, who joined us a few years ago when his book initially came out. We had a great conversation just learning more about everything that goes into the building of these arenas and stadiums for the teams that we love to root for. And if you're the Pegulas, I got to imagine, you don't spend what you spend on a training facility and a complex like that without, you know, and then abandon it just a few short years later in favor of a downtown stadium. That, you know, I know that downtown, that there's a lot of land, you know, that they've already gobbled up and more that they kind of set aside for the event in the event of a stadium. But that facility is impressive. One of the most, if not the most impressive in the NFL. Next hour when we talk to Rafi, we'll ask him about that as well, whether or not that is something that that teams will do moving forward, that they will actually build a stadium or build an arena off of the investment that they've already made in their training complex. You see it in Dallas as well.
You know, it's less than 2 months. We'll hear this guy on the post-game show. First preseason game, getting ahead of ourselves. We got minicamp coming first. Nate Geary is the post-game show host of Buffalo Bills on the Bills Radio Network. Good enough to give us a few minutes here. Nate, we're just dying for some football. How are you today?
I'm good, gentlemen. How are you? It's good to be wanting some football because you're going to get some tomorrow and the next couple days, mandatory minicamp session, and then the real stuff kicks off basically 30 to 40 days from then. So we don't want to do too much more waiting for the ball to start flying.
Yeah, it'll be here before we even know it, Nate. I think Gene and I both have things that we're specifically wondering about and looking forward to seeing over the course of the next 3 days here with minicamps happening. But, you know, let's start with Josh Allen. We had, you know, Mark Ludwizak, Bill's Digest, on with us a few weeks ago when Allen had this just phenomenal practice. I think he even dubbed it the best practice he's had as a Buffalo Bill, or that he's seen him have as a Buffalo Bill. Put that up against the practice that he had last week that was open to the media, which was less than stellar. You know, are we just to believe that, hey, you know what, there's going to be ups and downs, and Josh Allen is probably the thing that rattled fans about Josh Allen last year, probably at this stage. It's still a little inconsistent.
I mean, don't you guys know that Josh Allen looks great in shorts? I mean, come on. I thought we already know that. But, no, I mean, there's a point to be had on each of those, right? Like, this is a young player that is still absolutely in that part of the process where you're going to see ups, you're going to see downs. And, you know, I think an advantage for Allen, too, is that, you know, each week, each day at practice, he's going up against a really high-level defense, you know, and he's going up against very good players on that other side of the ball. Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, you know, and then on and on, you could say, with the defense, because they've got a really solid group foundation on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, he's going up against that unit every day at practice. So a lot can be said about the level of competition at the practices for Josh Allen and how that can help his development. I actually just did a film piece with Eric Turner, Cover One, this afternoon, where we did some breaking down of some plays last year that we saw of Allen, really from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, guys. And I know a lot of what Mark was talking about last week when Allen had that, you know, quote-unquote best practice of his career, was that there was a big emphasis on the red zone and some of the success that Allen was able to have in the red zone. And when you kind of look at the numbers from his first couple starts and then the injury and then post-injury stuff, you saw a level of efficiency as a runner inside the red zone that I think is something that really struck me. 12 first downs on the ground as a runner last year inside the red zone. And if you put that into an almost 100 yards rushing inside the red zone, and when you put that in, you know, perspective, and you think about what you're doing and the space that you're working with inside the red zone, that's 20 yards. And having 12 first downs and being able to extend drive in the red zone is huge. Especially for a rookie quarterback. So some of the things that Josh Allen showed last year in the red zone, I think he's building on this year. And to me, it's all about his efficiency passing in the red zone this year. Can he become a more efficient passer and maybe not force as much, especially when you're on third down? And a lot of his interceptions last year, right, 12 of them in all, there isn't maybe a lot of context about those 12 interceptions, right? Like one was a Hail Mary pass. I think I think four were on third down where Josh Allen was just trying to make a play. So it kind of starts to see some of the things that people say negatively about him. And then you start to put the context to it, and you're like, well, it's not as bad as people say, and it's likely not as good as Bills fans say. So it's probably somewhere in the middle there. And I think the most important thing, guys, is that the players around him, that supporting staff, has gotten significantly better. I mean, you just go back and watch a little bit of film, and you watch Kelvin Benjamin lollygagging it, not really running routes. And to be honest, towards the end of the year, you could say the same thing about Charles Clay, who's one of your highest-paid offensive players. So the supporting staff is better. He's a year older. I'm excited to see what sort of applications he could bring to what he's learned this offseason.
Let's talk about that supporting staff, Nate. The wide receiver is a position that fans will just naturally gravitate to when it comes to camp battles. And, I mean, we know four of the receivers that will earn a job. Brown, Foster, Zay Jones, Cole Beasley, and then five and six are kind of for debate after that. But I'm more curious about the top. Who will be the leading receiver on this Bills team? There might be two different answers when I say receptions and yardage, but if the Buffalo Bills offense is designed to do what it's going to do, who's the leading receiver in 2019, Nate?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question. I think there's a total case to be made that there may be three different players that lead in targets, catches, and touchdowns and receptions, right? Like, you might have three or four different players leading the way in each of those individual categories. And to me, the guy that really sticks out and the guy maybe I'm most excited about isn't one that is necessarily the most sexy one, but to me it's Cole Beasley. And the reason being is, in the red zone, he's a guy that creates that additional extra step of separation. And for a guy like Josh Allen, and a lot of people throw around the word accuracy when they talk about Josh Allen, and what they really mean by accuracy is placement. Because Josh Allen, does he always have the best placement? No. But accuracy-wise, he gets it there, right? Like, he's not, E.J. Manuel throwing into the, media tent, okay? He's missing by a yard or half a yard behind or in front of a receiver. So when you have a wide receiver like Cole Beasley who generates that additional extra step of separation, that could be the difference of a touchdown and an incompletion. That could be the difference of a first down or a punt. So, to me, that guy and what he does well, the extra step of separation that he can create underneath, I think is going to absolutely boost Josh Allen's completion percentage number this year. I think it's going to affect that red zone efficiency that I sort of alluded to when I was just speaking out in the last question. And the other guy that I really, really like, guys, is Robert Foster, who I think has absolutely the absolute goods to be this team's number one wide receiver moving forward. He established what I thought was maybe the best rapport I've seen with a wide receiver and quarterback since, like, on this team, since, like, Fitzy and Stevie Johnson. Like, they had this sort of unspoken communication about them that, in terms of timing and nuance, I really loved what I saw at the end of the season from Robert Foster. Considering where I was at the end of training camp, I remember being on this show with you guys at the end of training camp last year, wondering why in the hell it was that Robert Foster was making the football team over a guy like Rod Streeter. Because I didn't see it in practice, right? Like, he had a lot of bad drops in preseason. There was plays I thought that he gave up on the route. And then he ends up getting cut. They bring him back. And then all of a sudden, he is this renaissance man, this guy that runs every route, this guy that runs away from defenders, is just glue of the hands. And so a lot of what I saw in the second half of the season makes me think that Robert Foster is a legitimate candidate to be the team's number one overall wide receiver.
Nate Gary, WGR, our guest in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Nate, I want to go back to something you said, the fact that the supporting cast around Josh Allen got better this year. And I think that while that is true, they did a lot. That's not saying much when you consider how poor it was last year. Did they do enough? We know they did better, but did they do enough? And I'll go back and I'll always remember, for the few hours that we believed Antonio Brown was coming to the Buffalo Bills. Why would the Bills do that? Well, they would do that because they know he's more talented than any other skill position player they have on the field. And I'm curious as to your opinion of whether or not the Bills have that kind of talent now on the offensive side of the ball, that they have gotten better, but did they do enough to be able to really fully compete in 2019?
So I think they did enough. To answer your question, I do think they did enough. I think they clearly wanted that bona fide number one wide receiver. And I do also think on the opposite end of that, that you don't need a bona fide number one wide receiver to be a successful offense. I mean, you know, because if it were true that you need a bona fide wide receiver, well, you know, 25 teams in this league, 22, 25 teams in this league, you know, they'd be SOL, right? Because there aren't very many bona fide DeAndre Hopkins, Antonio Browns. You could probably put it in that category now. There aren't a ton of guys. Those guys don't grow on trees. So considering, right, the guys, the type of players that they brought in, I think they have a very, very, very good feeling about Robert Foster, a similar one to me. You add in the fact that you add players that still roll, the Cole Beasley in the middle of the field. They got, in my opinion, the best bona fide slot receiver in football. You know, I think Jets fans will tell you it's Jamison Crowder, but I've got to just tell Jets fans that they're wrong on that. It's not Jamison Crowder. So I look at that. They've added the best slot receiver in football, which I'm really excited about. Zay Jones, year three, we'll see the steps he's able to take. He did take steps at the end of last season. And I think the X factor is John Brown. They finally have a bona fide deep threat that absolutely at the line of scrimmage can be the kind of guy that, you know, the defenses play off of and sort of allow those easy throws at the line of scrimmage that this team has sort of been eluding for years now, it seems. So they've added a bunch of good pieces. They don't have that bona fide number one, but I'm still really leaving it out there for it being available that Robert Foster really does turn into that bona fide number one.
Previewing Bills minicamp starting tomorrow. Nate Geary, Buffalo Bills post-game show host. You hear his reports also on WGR. Our guest here in the sports bar, Devin Singletary. I don't think you spend a third round pick on a running back to let them develop for 2 years. So, I mean, he's going to be worked in, but I'm just curious as to how this might kind of be divvied up, because for LeSean McCoy, at least when LeSean McCoy is healthy, he's not used to deferring to some other running back. So, I mean, Nate, that's another storyline entering training camp. How this all plays out, how do you think this will all play out in the backfield?
So I don't think that LeSean McCoy gets to that 150 to 200 carry mark this year based on just the mouth defeat in the backfield. Frank Gore is going to get his opportunities in short yardage situations and in third down situations where his blocking, his pass blocking, which is one of the best in terms of maybe ever in terms of a running back. I mean, that's something he's known for. So there's going to be situations now with Frank Gore on the field. I think they like T.J. Yeldon. They signed him to a multi-year deal. That would indicate to me that there really isn't an option for them. I mean, there is. Of course, they could cut him after training camp and that be that. But I would be surprised based on the fact of him getting a two-year, I think it was a two-year deal with a third-year option, if I'm not mistaken, on T.J. Yeldon. That means to me that someone out of those three is going to be the odd man out. And there is one guy that's on an expiring deal this year. That's LeSean McCoy. I don't suspect his team moves on. They've said as much that they won't be. So it's sort of, as you ask the question, like, where does that leave Devin Singletary, considering that none of them play a special teams role? And I think that's a good question. I do think that Devin Singletary, by the end of training camp, could have a similar type of, you know, a situation that plays out where, hey, LeSean McCoy's not going to get a ton of preseason carries, right? He's just not. And neither is Frank Gore. That means T.J. Yeldon and Devin Singletary are going to get a monster share of carries this preseason. And don't let, you know, him going up against second and third teamers, you know, kind of distract you away from the fact that I think Devin Singletary is exactly the type of back that this offense can sort of feature. I really like him. I know a lot of people weren't in love with his 40 time and some of the metrics at the combine, but I sort of overlook a lot of that stuff considering that he's a pretty small back and he just knows where to find the creases in the defense. So having said that, I don't think this team's going to have a featured back this year unless one of them just looks better than the rest. And the only guy that I could see that really being is potentially like a T.J. Yeldon. If all of a sudden he just has a really great camp, what he offers out of the backfield as a pass catcher, I really like. But, you know, I don't know. LeSean McCoy's days are clearly numbered, I mean, just based on the fact that he's got an expiring contract. But, you know, that this team is starting to kind of build around the fact that LeSean McCoy's not going to be here. So, you know, for me, I think LeSean McCoy ends up with less than 150 carries this year, and I think Frank Gore ends up with more touchdowns. And I think there's definitely a route that Devin Singletary plays a bigger role in this team than I think a lot of people are imagining.
Nate, for the media portions that have been open to the OTAs, we've seen various configurations of what the Bills' new offensive line will look like. Mm. Part of that is because of the injuries to Mitch Morse and Quentin Spain. I'm just curious, and it's hard to gauge, of course, how they're doing when they're just wearing shorts, and we won't really see a lot of action out of that offensive line until the pads come on at St. John Fisher. But, you know, if you had to handicap that offensive line right now, what's your Buffalo Bills offensive line looking like heading into training camp?
I'm really happy you asked this question because I've, for the most part, had two combinations in my mind that I think need to be the route for, right? So I think from left to right, you look at if the situation says that you're going to keep Deion Dawkins left tackle, I'm fine. I'm good with that. I don't need him moved to guard. I don't need him moved to the right side. I especially don't need him moved to the right side. I hate when people bring that up. He did not show any comfortability level playing on the right side. He's a left tackle or a left guard in this league. So if my scenario one is Deion Dawkins at left tackle, Quentin Spain at left guard, obviously Mitchell Morse at your center position, then at right guard, Cody Ford, which I think is probably the best way to do it, at least start him out at right guard, and then Ty Nsekhe at right tackle. The only other thing I could think of that would make the most sense is bumping down Deion Dawkins to left guard, moving Quentin Spain over to the right side, and then having Cody Ford as your right tackle and Ty Nsekhe as your left tackle. Those are the two combinations I fully think are your two starting options. I don't really love the idea of starting a Spencer Long. He wasn't very good in his time with the New York Jets. I don't suspect that takes a big step forward. I don't really know where this team is with Wyatt Teller. They've really added to the guard position, which would indicate to me they don't feel very good about him. And, you know, when you look at some of the other guys, that right now, that you know, John Feliciano, I've heard people say he's a depth guy. They've got good depth to the guard position. But at the top, I think it's Quentin Spain, Cody Ford, and some maybe if you can find a position to move Deion Dawkins down to left guard, I'd be comfortable with that. But those are your rotations that I feel give them the best opportunity to win.
How do you see like this as far as a timeline, Nate? Because obviously you want to, you love to have it now. That's not probably realistic. It's
sure.
Probably not realistic. So what would you say? Second preseason game, third preseason game? How long does a starting five need to gel?
So I think what your guys are going to see is that first training camp practice, as long as everyone is healthy, that is more than likely going to be what you see week one. And I know a lot of people will say, well, there's going to be opportunities for guys to win or lose jobs, and I agree with that. But I think for the most part, you're going to set that offensive line with what you think the expectations are for the 2019 season. You set that offensive line, and unless injury or unless a guy like Cody Ford just shows that he absolutely needs to play right tackle, or Deion Dawkins absolutely needs to get moved down to tackle or into guard, you know, I think that you let your offensive line figure things out throughout training camp and into the preseason, and you just don't mess with it. So my thought there is whoever they end up, the five that start training camp with the first team offense, I think is a very good likelihood that's the unit going into the start of the season.
Nate, it's great catching up with you as always. Look forward to doing it again soon. I don't know if we'll get the chance to talk to you before training camp, but hopefully we do. But if we don't, we'll look forward to seeing you at St. John Fisher College here in, what'd you say, 30 to 40 days?
Yeah, just about mid-July, right? The 21st or something or other. I'm excited about them releasing the schedule so I can make my plans to be in attendance. I'll be there usually every weekend hosting from the GR booth, the little tent we got over there, so I'll be there, and then you guys can look. I've got Eric and I, as I mentioned at the start of the show, Eric and I did a really awesome hour and a half film piece that I think we're going to release separately on a bunch of different plays we broke down at Josh Allen that I'm real excited. I hope people can go check out.
Nate, be well. Appreciate your time on this Monday.
Thanks, fellas. I appreciate it. Talk soon.
Nate Gary. You can hear him in the Buffalo Bills postgame, WGR. A little preview of the Buffalo Bills mandatory minicamp starting tomorrow.
Again, I'll say this again. It's a good sign when we're debating, well, who might be out of a job here, okay? Usually, if we were playing name the 53-man roster, we would get to 45 and be kind of struggling. Well, right now on that offensive line in particular, you could have names like Wyatt Teller out of a job. So, to me, that's just a sign that... Okay, the Bills will be better than 6-10 coming up in 2019.
We've got takes on the way next. Some sports thoughts to wrap your mind around. It's a game we play called I'll Drink to That. You're always welcome to join us with yours at 454-ESPN, 454-3776. We're approaching the 25-year anniversary of a cultural phenomenon. Something that happened 25 years ago changed our lives. You know how people will say, like, oh my God, you've got to try this product. You got to watch this show. Changed my life. When you hear that, you know,
94. We talking about the Knicks being robbed against Houston Danger? Is that what we're talking about in the NBA final that year?
There will be something else. And I also want to share a radical idea, a radical suggestion. And it has to do with your favorite teams and the championships that they have accumulated over the course of time.
I am going to make a polite suggestion to one Buffalo Bill, to a family member, actually, to tone it down, because I can make the argument that being too vocal on social media might cost your husband a job. And there's other instances in NFL history, even the Bills' history. I'll tell you one player that I think is on the bubble here coming up for training camp. And also, we have proof now. Boston is going to win the Stanley Cup on Wednesday night. You don't need to watch. I will tell you why. You don't even need to tune in. Boston, you're Stanley Cup champion.
We're calling our shot?
Yeah, there it is. Roll the tape, Mike Danger. Yes, Boston wins the Stanley Cup.
I'll drink to that. Is on the way next in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion. We've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7. FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.